Our first reading today is from the Old Testament, from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 55. Hear now this reading. Ho, everyone who thirsts comes to the waters, and you that have no money, come, buy, and eat. Come, buy wine and milk, without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what it is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen so that you may live. I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. See, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. See, you shall call nations that you do not know, and nations that do not yet know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord that he may have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, and for the word within us. Thanks be to God.
Our second scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke. I'll be reading from the 13th chapter of Luke, the first 9 verses. Let us listen for God's word in our lives. At that very time, there were some present who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And he asked them, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were worse sinners than all other Galileans? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will perish as they did. Or those 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them. Do you think they were worse offenders than all the others living in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will perish just as they did." Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So he said to the gardener, "See here, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and still I find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?" And he replied, "Sir, let it alone for one more year, until I dig around it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, and for the word within us, thanks be to God. Well, before I begin my comments, I do have to offer a little reflection. I had some amusement very early in our worship service today. And Mike, we may have to pay a little bit more attention to the wording of some of the things we select and where we place them in the service. Our choral introit today ended with, "Grant us wisdom, grant us courage for the facing of this hour." I don't think we realize that. So I hope you've got enough wisdom and courage to take it. We'll get a chance to sing that whole hymn again at the end of the service, okay? Have you ever used the expression, well, let me paint a situation before I ask that. You run into an old friend, and you say, "How are you doing?" And they say, "Oh, well, I'm doing pretty good, you know. How's life?" Say, "Well, you know, life's going pretty good. I've been really successful. I've managed to build a good life, have a good career." And you've known this person their whole life. And you're hearing this wonderful story. And you walk away from that person and you say, "Wow, they must be living right." Or you meet another friend and ask them how they're doing, and they say, "Oh, life's terrible." And they just unload problem after problem after problem, and you walk away from that conversation saying, "What did they do to deserve that?" We've all used those expressions, haven't we? Well, today, we're going to continue our Lenten sermon theme of exploring the humanity of Jesus by looking at human suffering and tragedy and its implications in our faith. This enigmatic story that we heard from the gospel seems to center on two tragic events that are known to Jesus and to those whom he's talking. Now, even though there's been a whole lot of speculation about the historicity of both of these events, we really don't know much beyond the text about exactly when, where, or to whom they may have occurred. We do know that the Roman Empire could be and was quite brutal when enforcing their dominion, and that even though indigenous religions were tolerated, they offered no sanctuary from imperial brutality. And so this story of people being slain while offering sacrifices is very plausible and probable. As for the Tower of Siloam, this biblical reference is the only indication of its existence. To date, there's no significant archaeological evidence of its existence or destruction. Now, having said this, within the biblical story of Jesus, both of these events are presented as real and show us that the teaching of Jesus was grounded in real questions and real struggles of people's lives and not ethereal, pie-in-the-sky teaching. As he said so often, the kingdom of heaven, the way of his teachings is at hand and can be experienced here and now. But the doorway into experiencing the kingdom in Jesus' teaching and preaching is always repentance, which means a change of mind and heart. Repentance is a turning toward a new perspective, and it's not just intellectual, but it's also in our hearts. So actually, today's story in this 13th chapter of Luke comes in the middle of a larger story that started at the beginning of chapter 12, in which Jesus has a discussion of the kingdom of heaven. And it's a kingdom of heaven where God is present to the needs of the entire universe, as represented in parables he tells about sparrows of the air and lilies of the field. God is ever present to the needs of the entire creation. And in telling this story and giving this vision of the kingdom that Jesus says is here and now, he echoes the words of Isaiah that we heard read, where Isaiah says, "Ho!" And that's the way he said it, I'm sure, because "ho" is this emphatic prefix that means, listen, this is important. It could be, "Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please? Ho!" And then Isaiah says, "Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. You that have no money, come. Buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk. Without money, without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food." This is a kingdom of abundance. It's the kingdom that Jesus describes, where the sparrow doesn't worry, the lilies of the field don't worry, and neither should we. It is within this context that people bring to Jesus this report of Pilate brutally killing people. Now, their question, which the storyteller has Jesus asking rather rhetorically, is basically the age-old question of why do bad things happen to good people? And this question and its sibling question, if God is all-powerful and good, then why is there evil, are the questions of the theological discourse that we call theodicy. Theodicy is basically the intellectual struggle to reconcile good and evil with respect to God's sovereignty. Either God is sovereign or God is not. And if God is sovereign, then why do we have good and evil? That is the struggle of theodicy. Now, another issue at the core of this story and related to theodicy, and very important for us, is that the very nature of God is in question here. Is God transactional? Is God a quid pro quo, tit for tat God who dishes out punishment for bad behavior and reward for good behavior? Remember our two questions? Wow, what did they do to deserve that? And you must be living right. Is this the nature of God? And if so, then why does the human experience seem so often to be the opposite? Why do we see people who are obviously not living just lives succeeding enormously according to our standards? Why do we live in a world where they say good guys finish last? And Jesus is responding to these questions in this story, and his response is simple. You'll notice he doesn't mince words. He says, repent or perish. Repent or perish. Now, this in itself seems rather harsh and punitive, but not when taken in the larger context of Jesus' teachings on the kingdom, because within this context, repentance, as I said, is a change of mind and heart, and it is turning toward a different perception of God, who is a God for all of creation, within us, among us, and around us. God is all inclusive, which includes all things, even those we perceive as bad or death itself. As Paul puts it in his letter to the Romans, after naming this long list of terrible things, he says, nothing in all creation can separate us from God's love. Now, to perish is to hold on to a notion of separation from God, with a false perception that we must please God or be punished. And if we live with that perception of a punitive God, then we are perishing. So the real message of this story is repent. Change of mind and heart. Again, to quote Paul, he says, be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Changing the way we see and understand the very nature of God. Listen again to those words from Isaiah that we heard earlier, where Isaiah says, let the wicked forsake their way, and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return, that is the word for repent. Let them return to the Lord, that the Lord may have mercy on them, and to our God, for our God will abundantly pardon. There's no punitive God here. And Jesus describes this kind of change, as he so often does, with a simple story. A simple story with a profound message, which is to save a dying tree, you have to change the way you care for the tree. Jesus lived in the world just like you and me. A world of suffering and tragedy. However, he chose to see suffering and tragedy not as punishment from God, but as an invitation into relationship with God through compassion, through love, through mercy, through forgiveness and reconciliation with pain and suffering. And in this Lenten season, as Jesus calls us to follow Him, this is the path on which we follow into pain and suffering to discover the true nature of God. Because according to Jesus, faith is not a transactional deal that requires us to please a punitive God. Quite the opposite. Faith is lived out in relationship with God, whom we encounter in all of creation, in our own lives, and in one another. Jesus shows us His own humanity. And as He does so, we begin to discover in ourselves, in others, and in the world around us, the presence of God. We have focused so long on the divinity of Christ that we have forgotten the humanity of Jesus. And it is in that humanity that we discover the presence of God, the kingdom of heaven. And ours is to repent, to turn, to change perspective, and discover a God who is for us, and in us, and with us, and through us. Amen. My friends, it does take wisdom, it does take courage, this business of repentance, because it means being willing to see the entire world, the creation of God, in a different way. It takes wisdom. It takes courage, and it takes following Jesus. There are haunting words in this hymn we just sung. And to me, those words are, "Lest we miss thy kingdom's goal." Let us go from this place knowing that the kingdom of God is not a punitive place where good behavior is rewarded and bad behavior is punished. The kingdom of God is the entire creation filled with God's steadfast love, God's mercy, God's grace. And if there is a quid pro quo in the gospel, Jesus gives it to us in His summation of the commandments. The first commandment is love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, in the same way that God loves us. And the second commandment is love your neighbor as yourself. There's the quid pro quo. It's not between us and God. It's between us. So let us go from this place knowing that the love of God surrounds us and is in us and is through us and among us and begging to be shared. Amen.